Do you want the most stylish MMA apparel without paying ridiculous prices? Check out IntimidationClothing.com for great original styles of t-shirts, hoodies, and more. IntimidationClothing.com features affordable, premium quality products for men and women. Intimidation is one of the fastest growing MMA apparel companies in the world. Log on today at IntimidationClothing.com. Be the intimidator. Intimidation Clothing.
We're not Zufa zombies. We're Cage Zombies. You're listening to Cage Zombies Radio with Matthew Gaithier and Spencer Kirksey.
Welcome to Cage Zombies Radio. I am Matthew Gaither. It's Thursday night. We have a night full of some great stuff going on here. We got Stephanie Egging from the XSC. We've got Chris Big Boy Jensen fighting at RFC 28 tomorrow night. We may have Alana Jones joining us at the end of the night as well. We welcome in my co-host, Mr. Spencer Kirksey. You there, buddy?
Yes, I am here. I am ready to go, man.
Right on, man. We are having some minor technical issues going on here, but we're going to see if we can get these figured out really soon and get rolling with our show as always, because it's Thursday night and we don't want to rob anybody of some great MMA talk. So thank you for joining us on this Thursday, live every Thursday at 10 p.m. And let's see if we can figure out what's going on here, man. Spencer, how are you doing this week, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Just got off work a little bit ago. I consider that my real work. I consider this my fun work. covered an event last weekend, and I'm just ready to talk some MMA. We have some great guests tonight, and I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Why don't you talk a little bit about that that event that you covered this last weekend?
I went to OFC 17 out in Hilliard, Ohio. It was an all-amateur event, and this was my first time covering an OFC event. And they had a light heavyweight title fight as the main event. But before I talk about that, the main four fights of the night, first was Steve Allen versus Ben Peer. And, I mean, I think there was 9 total finishes out of 12 fights. So it was just crazy. The time flew by. They actually had 2 intermissions. It was a great way to start off covering a new promotion. But like I said, Ben Peer got the win. He won via rear naked choke at 157 of round 2. To move to 2-1. That was in the middleweight division. That was an awesome fight. Lots of scrambles on the ground. Bo Springs, or I guess it's pronounced Bo Spring. And this kid, I swear he looked like he's 18, 19 years old. I don't know how old he was. This was in the featherweight division. He took on Nathan Witkin. And even though Spring lost, he put on a hell of a fight. He had a nice judo throw in the second round. This kid looked like like we talked last week, Matthew, he looked like the future of MMA. And even though he lost, he was humble in defeat. He took it on the chin, and, I mean, I expect some big things out of this kid. I can't wait to see when his next fight is. But Nathan Witkin's got the win to move to 4-0. And then in the co-main event, we had Joe Ryan versus Tal Lytle, and that was a rematch. Lytle looked amazing on his feet. This was another featherweight bout. But one mistake cost him the entire fight. Slipped. Ryan took his back and won via rear naked choke at 106 of round 1. And then in the main event, we had Tyler Bostic versus Conor Hina, and that was in the light heavyweight division for the title. And Bostic, he looked like a professional. He didn't look like a guy who had only fought 6 times. This dude looked like a guy who was in, like, the major leagues, like Bellator or the MFC. He's delivering some nasty body shots, was getting some nasty takedowns, and Hina was just, he was just taking it, like, this dude, he was, even though he was getting beat up, he was giving it back to him. He could take a shot, man. he could definitely take a shot. And Bostic won via unanimous decision over Hina. So Bostic is the new OFC amateur light heavyweight champion. And it was just an all-around good card. That was OFC 17, folks, out in Hilliard, Ohio. I can't wait for OFC 18.
Right on, man. Sounds like a great night. Now, is that your first – I think you said it was your first OFC event. Is that your first amateur event?
No, I covered a couple of amateur events. I did one for the NAAFS, and then I did a mostly amateur event for the UVC. I think they had, like, two professional or three professional fights.
Right on, man. Now, I don't know what the amateur rules are, what the difference are between amateurs and pros up there, but down here we have a lot of rules that differentiate between amateurs and pros. Is there a lot that's different up there? What kind of rules are in the amateurs that you don't see in the pros up in your area?
As far as I know, ground and pound is illegal. Legal, not illegal. I know that was a big deal with you guys down in Florida. I think you said, what, if you have less than three fights?
Correct.
Yeah, that's not the case up here as far as I know. The 3 3-minute rounds, that's the big difference. I'm not sure about the elbows to the face. I think those are a no-go. But as far as I know, that is all the difference.
Yeah. Right on, man. Yeah, there's a good amount of different rules down here. You guys don't do shin guards up there, do you?
No, we don't.
Yeah, all the
amateurs
down here. They got to wear shin guards. It's kind of a bummer, man, because I don't know. You love seeing that kick to the face, and I hate seeing the shin guard being there and just kind of, you know, I don't know. I get it, but it's just one of those things that I think that I think they should do away with. But that's awesome, man. Sounds like you had a great event. Sounds like you had a great time, and it sounds like hopefully the OFC liked the coverage that they got from you and from MMA Madhouse, and hopefully they'll be welcoming you back there for quite some time.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely a promotion that I'd like to cover some more of. I had heard of them. I had never been able to get out to an event though. And I'm glad I did. That was kind of a last-second find. And, yeah, I definitely enjoyed myself there. It was great fights. They put on a great show. It was at the Marriott Hotel out in Hilliard. And it was a packed conference room. And the fans, I mean, the main event, the fans were on their feet the entire time. I mean, the announcer was yelling to sit down because people in the back couldn't see. But the fans were into it. The fighters were just going at it. It was an awesome card.
That's awesome, man. I got a big event tomorrow night. If you're in Florida, in the Central Florida, South Florida area, whatever it is, man, make sure that you come out to the A La Carte Pavilion in Tampa, Florida for RFC Real Fighting Championships 28 Battle of the Bay. It's going to be a great night of fights. Some awesome pro fighters, Florida guys on this card. We're going to talk to one of them here in a little about just after 11 o'clock. We're going to be talking to Chris Big Boy Jensen. He's got his hands in everything. He's getting ready to fight this fight tomorrow night against Jason King. It's going to be his retirement fight. It's going to be his last fight as a fighter. But aside from that, I mean, he's like the vice, I don't know about vice president, but he's the first assistant and right-hand man to Joe Valdez, the grandfather of MMA. They call him the godfather, no disrespect, the godfather. That was a misspoke on my behalf. The godfather of MMA. My head's spinning, so I'm trying to get it all out. Godfather of MMA down here in Florida, man. The Real Fighting Championships is the longest-running promotion in the state. So for professionals, man, it's going to be a great night of fights tomorrow night. You got Chris Big Boy Jensen going up against Jason King. You got the main event with Gian Herrera versus Mitchell Chamali for the 125-pound title. Sean Nightmare Hollis, Durbin Pioneer Lopez, Cam Taylor, a great amateur fighter here in the state, making his pro debut. You got, Jafar Ford Knox, man, another great amateur fighter in the state, making his debut on this event. It'll be a year to the day since the last RFC event. They've undergone some knocks in the road here and there, but they are back. They are going to put on a stacked fight card. And it's going down tomorrow night. The weigh-ins were tonight about 5, 6 o'clock. So I know from what I've seen on Facebook, most of the guys weighed in, most everybody. All the guys weighed in, but I believe everyone's ready to go on weight, and it's going to be one phenomenal night of fights tomorrow night at the A La Carte Pavilion in Tampa, Florida. Make sure you check it out. Make sure you're there. If you look at RFCMMA.com, you can find out all the info. Tickets, I'm sure, still are available. Listen, their last event, man, they packed the house. And I'm going to say, of all the people there, a fifth of them were Gian Herrera's friends and family. So these guys are big-time fighters here in the state. They're gonna stack this house. They got a stacked fight card. It's going to be a great night of fights at Real Fighting Championships 28 Battle of the Bay. So make sure you're there. If not, follow along online, MMAMadhouse.com. We'll have the live results, as I will be in the house reporting live results. So check it out. Listen, before we get rolling here, we're going to be joined by Stephanie Agink here about another 15 minutes or so, getting ready to talk to her about her fight at XFC 25. Before that, though, let's give some shout-outs to our great sponsors. Of course, we got none other than Intimidation Clothing. Get the right gear at the right price, and make sure you're putting on the most comfortable clothing out there. We also got Crossroads Clothing and Game Changer Clothing, two other great apparel companies in this business. You want to have these people's clothing on your back, man. You got Macho Fighter. Listen, Macho Fighter is going to represent the fighters. They're talking about sponsorship, management. Hit up MachoFighter.com. Become a Macho Fighter. ProAmBelts.com. You're looking at the best belts in the business, in the company. No matter where you go, nobody's making better belts than ProAmBelts.com. You want to fill your body with the right supplements. To do so, you're going to get cast iron supplements. Otherwise, you're just going to be putting crappy stuff in your body. Not so great stuff. You want the best stuff, you want to cast iron supplements. Go BrawlBase.com and DracoSports.com. Supporting local MMA and supporting all of the regional MMA. Check them out. Follow along with what they've got going on. And then, of course, Jax Media. Out of Jax Media Canada, look for the best logo designs, web designs, whatever it is. Check out Jax Media Canada. And, of course, my sponsor down here, Gator MMA Fight Team. Now fighting and training out of Richie Racket in Port Richey, Florida on US 19. Check it out. Lots of great stuff available for you, for friends, for family. We've got it all. No matter what you want to do, you can do it there. So come check out Gator MMA at Richie Racket in Port Richey, Florida. All right, man. With that said, I'm excited, man. I could go on. You know, this fight, I interviewed Mitchell Chamali a little while back before I came over here and started K-Zombies. One of my last episodes on Full Guard Fight Radio with Jason, we had Mitchell on. And Mitchell's a real busy dude, man. He's got a lot going on. He helps co-run Combat Night out of they're based out of Orlando, but they're kind of all over the state lately. And he's getting ready to fight the main event tomorrow night against Gian Herrera for the 125-pound title. It's going to be a sick fight. It's just going to be a great night of fights, man. Lots of great pros here in the state are going to be out there fighting. And it's just going to be a great night. It's going to be something that you don't want to miss as an MMA fan. So I'm excited. Can't wait to be there. I was at the last one, and I've just been itching and waiting for it to come back around again. And I'm so glad the RFC is back, man. They put on one of the best pro shows here in the state.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's one that I'll be following along on online at MMAMadhouse.com. Fortunately, I don't have the luxury or the money to fly down to Florida with you.
Yeah, man, that's why you just gotta make the move, man. Just make it official. Just move on down here.
If I do recall, though, you said not to because of the weather.
Yeah, I may have said that. I think you're right about that. I think I did say that. But you know, with the good comes the bad, you know. And the state's got a lot of great MMA down here. So, but yeah, I mean, the weather is pretty nasty. So, especially right now, man, it's hot as hell outside.
That we finally just have some good weather around here, and I'm very thankful for it.
Right on, man. So I've kind of been out of it this last week. Just got back from vacation the other night. Kind of removed myself from everything and just enjoyed some time with my girl and her family. So I'm not up to date at all what's going on in MMA. So I mean, I don't know if there's we got a lot going on. There's news. Like, have you been following along? Heard anything this week?
As far as following along and stuff, I don't know if you've heard today. I think it was just announced today. What do you think of the Rampage Jackson versus Roy Jones Jr. boxing match?
I did not hear about that. I think that's kind of neat, actually. Rampage is a hell of a boxer. I think the problem with Rampage in the last few fights is his cardio was crap, man.
I agree.
Aside from that, he's a hell of a boxer. Roy Jones Jr. Obviously himself is a very good boxer. So, I don't know. That's neat. I think it helps if nothing else. You know, I think that with being as a Zuffa zombie, you're under this contract where you can't even think about doing anything that's not under the Zuffa banner. So now that Rampage is kind of free of that bondage there, he can kind of branch out and do something like this. And I kind of think it's cool. I think it's awfully late in his career to do something like that, but I still think it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I read that online, and it was one of the things that kind of, like, took me by surprise. I didn't believe it at first. Did a little bit of research on it. It's true. It's going to be a pay-per-view event, and I think that's a big deal. It's pretty exciting. Also, with other Bellator news, I guess that's kind of Bellator news with Rampage, but do you see Paul Daly and Mikael Falco have been released?
Yeah, I kind of saw the Paul Daly thing coming. I mean, after that, you know, I don't know what happened. He came out, he made his Bellator debut at Bellator 72, and since then just kind of he fought a few times overseas or something. He had problems getting a visa or something recently, I think, if I remember correctly. And it just seemed to kind of fizzle out. You know, Paul Daly's a hell of a fighter. Dude's got an attitude, obviously, you know, and not always a great sport, but he's a hell of a good fighter. And, I got to say, I'm not terribly surprised by that because there's been no action with him in Bellator. So kind of assumed that, he'd be let go, or he'd just kind of fizzle out. The hype, I guess you could say, fizzled out because, you know, he came in, made a big splash in his Bellator debut, and just kind of that was it.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't follow it exactly, the Mikael Falco thing. What was the deal with that? There was a fight or something? Not in the cage, outside of the cage?
I'm not sure, man, honestly. I'm not sure, man.
I know something went down with that. I didn't really follow it. I don't care about the nonsense outside of the cage. Every now and then I'll follow some of that stuff, but it was just something extreme. If I'm not mistaken, that was the situation with that.
Right on. Well, you know a little bit more about it than I do then, because I was not sure at all. I'm actually pulling up, I'm reading something right now, man. This is a pretty cool little stat. The 2008 men's U.S. freestyle team from the Olympics, they're 29-0 in MMA. How cool is that? I think that's pretty tight.
You said 29-0.
29-0. The members of the men's USA freestyle team that have entered MMA, they're 29-0 in MMA.
That's crazy. That's unbelievable. I'd hate to be the guy that is the first to lose.
Yeah, man, this is it here. You got, let's see, man. Ben Askren at 11-0, Daniel Cormier at 12-0, Henry Cejudo at 4-0, and Steve Mocco 2-0. So that's pretty cool, dude. Obviously, Ben Askren and Daniel Cormier being more of the popular two, obviously, because they're both, Askren's got a title in Bellator, and Cormier was the title holder in Strikeforce until folded, and will, you know, soon enough be holding a title in the UFC. It won't be the heavyweight, obviously, unless somebody else but Kane has it, because he's not going to fight Kane. But I do believe that if he jumps down and goes at light heavyweight, I think he takes care of John Jones quite easily.
That's actually a good point. That's actually some more news that just came out. He is going to fight Roy Nelson next. I don't know if you saw that. Cormier is fighting Roy Nelson at heavyweight. And then they said,
I think this is true.
He's going down to fight Jones if he wins that.
That's what they've been talking about. And I did hear that was kind of like rumored. The Roy Nelson and Daniel Cormier fight looked like it was going to happen. I think it's a cool fight. I enjoy watching both those guys. both those guys fight, and those guys are going to both come out and brawl. I know Cormier's probably going to look more to take him down, use his wrestling skills, but I think it's going to be a really good fight.
I agree, and also Askren has the fight coming up next Wednesday, I believe, for the Bellator title. He's going to defend it.
Yes, I do believe that is correct. So let's see, man. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say I've been disappointed. I mean, I know that Bellator Summer Series is less events, but, I mean, coming into the summer, I'm like, okay, summer vacation in Bellator.
Yeah.
It sounds awesome. And they've only had one event, and this is their second one. I was expecting it, like, every other week at least.
Yeah, same here, man. I've been every Wednesday. I've been, like, I'm sitting there checking the TV. I'm like, what the hell, you know? Like, I was hoping I was going to change. Like you said, man, they opened up their summer series with a phenomenal first event, man. That event was amazing. And, then, yeah, it's just kind of like, all right, so it's been about a month and a half or so, and nothing. You know, you've got Fight Master, and I've been slowly keeping up with it, but I've gotten a little bit behind here a few episodes. But still, man, I want to see some live Bellator action, man.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Fight Masters has been good so far. No complaints there. Did you watch the episode Wednesday?
I did not, man. I'm solidly 4 episodes behind.
You're 4 episodes behind.
Yeah, man. Well, I've gotten pretty behind.
Yeah, you need to catch up with that. It's been pretty awesome. It reminds me of the first season of The Ultimate Fighter, which we all know The Ultimate Fighter hasn't just been going downhill since then, and it's brought me back to liking a show that style.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Couldn't agree more, man. My only problem with it was friggin' Joe Warren and Frank Shamrock. I can't stand Shamrock, but aside from that, I don't really think he belongs on there. But I loved seeing Greg Jackson and Randy Couture and stuff. So I got to get caught up. I have it all on the DVR. I just haven't had the chance to. Just been lazy.
Yeah, you know the whole Randy Couture thing has to piss off Dana White.
Oh, of course it does, man. He told him he's no longer welcome back in the UFC and all that stuff. And, of course, knowing Dana White and the UFC, you only make it into the UFC Hall of Fame if you're Dana White's friend. It has nothing to do whether you're deserving to be in the Hall of Fame. It's a matter of if you're willing to kiss Dana's ass or not. So,
yeah, that's just BS. And the whole situation with Randy Couture's son, Ryan Couture, not letting him in his corner.
Yeah, that's garbage.
That's just no class shown there by Dana White at all.
Yeah, none at all. It's not like it's a surprise. Dana hides nothing. Dana is Dana, and he never shies away from that. So I wouldn't expect any different, but you would hope for it to be different. But, you know, I would expect nothing differently from Dana, that's for sure.
Yeah, that he's shown that's his true colors, and it's just not – even if you're not friends with him, he's more than deserving to be in the UFC Hall of Fame for the amount of years he fought, the caliber of opponents he fought. He's just one of those guys that will always be remembered in the UFC and just MMA overall. One of those pioneers who made the sport exciting and brought fans to the sport.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Listen, we're going to get ready to go live here with Stephanie Agink here in the next couple moments. I believe my co-host is going to go behind the scenes real quick and get Stephanie mic'd up and ready to go. In the meantime, man, Stephanie Agink has got a main event fight coming up at XFC 25 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. She fights at strawweight. It's just baller status, man. Her and I'm going to talk with her for a little while tonight. Kind of see how she's feeling. A little ways out from XFC 25. We want to see how she's doing and what she's doing to get ready. And so we'll jump back there. We'll do that. In the meantime, like I said, you know, we I'll be out live tomorrow at RFC 28, Battle of the Bay. It's going to be a great night of fights, and I'm excited. I can't say it enough, man. I'm excited. Some great fighters from around the state here, guys, in the area. Sean Hollis, Dervin Lopez, two guys that I've followed for a while, big fans of. Excited to see them get in the cage tomorrow night and finally go back to war. Same with Gion, man. Gion Herrera is a great young dude. And Mitchell, man. It's going to be a great fight between the two of these guys. They are going to actually just tear the roof off the place. You got the 125ers in the main event fighting for a title, man. It's just going to be awesome. So as Spencer's getting Stephanie ready to go, Stephanie Snowflake Egging, you know, she trains out of under Rob Kahn in Tampa, at Gracie Tampa, and there's nothing but great fighters and great competitors that come out of that gym. So I'm excited to talk with her here in the next minute or two. Before we get her going, though, XFC 25 is coming up fast, man. You gotta get ready, man. Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's gonna be a great event. September 6th, they're fighting for a title, the strawweight title fight, man. The main event. It's gonna be a great fight. And Angela Magana. I hope I'm not mispronouncing her name, but Angela Magana. They're going to be fighting in the main event out there. It's going to be a great night of fights. They're just taking over. They've got XFC 25 set. XFC 26 and 27 are both in the works, and they're getting ready to put those together. I do believe they've got Stephanie ready to go, so we're going to look here real quick. As soon as my host tells me that she's ready to go, we'll go ahead and go live with Stephanie.
All right, we have Stephanie live right now.
All right, welcome in, Stephanie. How you doing?
How you doing? I'm all right.
So, I mean, how are things going? You started fight camp yet? You getting ready for your fight at XFC 25?
Oh, yeah. I've been in fight camp now for, 3 weeks. It was a little extended fight camp because, you know, it's a 5-round fight, so I started a little bit earlier.
Right on. And now you fight right out of here in the Tampa area, and you train out of here, and, you know, you fight for a Tampa-based promotion, but a Tampa-based promotion that has gone national and is getting ready to start going international. So what's it like being a part of that promotion during the time that they're making some major changes and they're making some major ground here in the sport?
Well, I met John Prisco when I lived in Tampa. I don't live there anymore. I live in South Dakota now because I'm training with Shayna Baszler in South Dakota. But I trained at Gracie Tampa for 2 years, and that's when I met John. And, you know, I didn't know a lot about the XFC, and at the time it was definitely not as big as it is now. And it's awesome, you know, how much it's growing. And there's bigger things that are still to come. That's what John told me that he's not totally delving into yet, but, you know, He hinted at some big, awesome things happening. So, no, it's really exciting.
Now, how does it feel being a female fighter and female fighters in the mainstream of MMA haven't really been given the best respect by most promotions? The XFC has been very different. The XFC has given the ladies mad respect and is showing that constantly by featuring great female fights on these cards and by featuring a couple of great fighters such as yourself in this main event at XFC 25. So what's it like to be part of that a promotion that gives the proper respect to the ladies?
It's not even the respect. It's the fact that XFC is one of few promotions that build divisions for women instead of just having, you know, one female fight on the card, just two random girls, you know, to draw in a crowd. You know, they're actually building a division, and there's not that many promotions that are doing that. I mean, I can list maybe 3 or 4, you know, out of hundreds of promotions that really build female divisions. You know, so that's awesome because it makes your fights mean a lot more. It makes the title belt mean a lot more. You know, there's a lot of people that hold titles for, like, one-time fight, you know, and that doesn't mean as much as when it's, a build-up and, you know, there's divisions within the promotion. So it's awesome, and I'm really glad I can be part of it, and such a beginner in my career still, and, you know, to have the opportunity is awesome.
Now, how does it feel? You said you're a beginner in your career, and I know you're 3-1. And with that, only 4 fights, you're fighting for a title. How does that feel?
I have experience, a lot of experience in boxing, so I don't feel as green as someone else who is maybe 3-1 would feel, but it is still a little wow, okay, you know, I wasn't expecting to be offered the title fight, but I'm definitely up for the challenge. I have no doubt in my mind that I'm gonna win. It is pretty cool. You know, I feel like I went from 0 to 60 pretty fast, and that's all thanks to, you know, this promotion. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. The XFC definitely treats their fighters right, puts on great shows. Now, you said you moved to South Dakota to train with Shayna. How is that? Was that just for this fight? Was that a permanent move?
I've moved before I fought Heather. I moved right in the middle of that camp, and I loved Gracie Tampa and my coach Rob Kahn. You know, I'm still in contact with him, and I still consider that my team. But I'm initially from the Pacific Northwest, so Florida and me just didn't really mix very well. You know, beaches are great, but I'm used to country. More country type of living, mountains, and so when I met Shayna and had the opportunity to move here, I jumped on that, and that's been great. I couldn't ask for a better training partner and coach than her. She's a veteran in the sport. There's nothing she doesn't really know about it, so it's been really beneficial to my career. You know, I got a lot of, you know, I got my purple belt from Rob Kahn and Gracie Tampa, and up here it's all wrestling, so my wrestling has been what I've been working on, so, you know, I'm getting a little mix of everything.
So would you say that's the biggest difference between the two fight camps is the jiu-jitsu and the wrestling?
A Gracie school is obviously, a Gracie school. Jiu-jitsu is the prime, the prime training is jiu-jitsu, and in a different style of jiu-jitsu, you know, off your back kind of jiu-jitsu, which I got, you know, really comfortable with. You can see in my other fights, but, you know, now I'm learning learning how to stay on top, and different wrestling, you know, not being taken down. And, you know, there's obviously a difference in the size too. Gracie Tampa is a huge school. There's multiple locations that, you know, in Tampa, and the school I'm training at now is way smaller, but I wouldn't say the level of the training is any lower, especially with, you know, being under Shayna. So.
Yeah, I got to say, you know, being located down here in the Tampa area, you can't say enough to do justice of how big the Gracie Tampa schools are. I mean, they've got 4 or 5 locations. The who's who of MMA around here, and it has come out of Gracie Tampa. And they do produce a lot of great fighters, a lot of great competitors. They have great leaders at those schools, and they're well represented at local fights, at local tournaments, whether it's in MMA or just jiu-jitsu tournaments. Man, they are definitely well represented by great people. So I think it shows a lot, and it carries a lot of weight that you've trained out of there, you've trained under Rob Kahn and some of the other great people out of there, and I think that's going to really carry a long way in your career and really help you.
Yeah, I still stay in contact with Rob, and, you know, he always is trying to get me to fly down and to do a camp there and stuff. You know, I definitely would if it wasn't for, you know, the money issue, you know, having to take time off work and stuff. I love those guys. I miss training with them, just the diversity of, you know, so many people and so many locations, and they're all a little bit different. Definitely was an awesome opportunity training there for 2 years. So, but I like moving around. You know, you meet new people and you learn new things, and it's fun. My next goal is I want to move back to the West Coast, probably within a year, and maybe go to Team Quest or something on the West Coast. That's where I'm from, so we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Now, for your fight coming up at XFC 25, you know, a little bit of bad blood between the two of you guys. Two of you ladies, it seems. There's an article that anyone can check out at officialxfc.com. There's been a little bit of talk, but you're not. Says you know you're not even focusing on the talk. You're just focusing on getting in the cage at XFC 25 and taking care of business against your opponent.
Yeah, Angela Magana has made a career for herself from talking shit, and I have absolutely no respect for that at all. I didn't have anything personal against her, and last time we were supposed to fight, she got personal. She got personal after she backed out, which didn't even make any sense to me. But I don't have any respect for that. You know, it doesn't even, you know, a sport is a sport when it comes down to it. And I understand saying you're going to beat my ass, but, you know, there's a line that you don't cross, and she crossed it. And so, you know, I've never fought an opponent that I disliked intensely, and I dislike her with every fiber of my being, so I cannot wait to bash her face in. And I've never felt that way about any of my opponents. You know, they just seem like an opponent to me. It's not, you know, there's no bad blood there, but, you know, I really don't care for her at all. But I'm not going to be that fighter that, you know, what she wants me to be. She wants me to be the big time shit talker back to her, but that just makes you lose focus. So it'll all be settled on September 6th. So.
Yeah. Now, I mean, how do you feel? I mean, it's got to, you know, you kind of just explained it perfectly, but, you know, you see a lot of crap talk in MMA, and for the fan side of it, it looks nice, but there's a line, you know, there's a line there that doesn't need to be written, doesn't need to be seen physically. You just know it, and sometimes fighters cross that line with some of their talking and stuff, and she did that. She started attacking some aspects of your personal life and stuff like that, so, I mean, how does that make you feel? Does that fuel you for this fight?
Definitely. You know, like you said, there's always a line. You know, there's never not some shit talking. I mean, there's always, you know, someone saying, "I'm gonna do this to you." Oh no, you're not. I'm gonna do this. You know, you don't deserve to be in there with me. Blah blah blah. Whatever. But there's no reason to get into somebody's personal life. I don't even understand that. Like, that's just not who I am. You know, even when she did that about me, I didn't counterattack. It was just, you just look stupid. You just look like a fool right now. I mean, you know, you backed out of the fight, and yet you're talking personal shit about me. You know, I don't know. And it really bothered me, too, because I have, like, family, you know, aunts, uncles, grandparents that follow me online and interviews and stuff, you know, and they're reading that trash that she's saying. So it's just, you know, it was unnecessary, and she's going to pay for it, so.
right on. I love I love how confident you sound, and I know it's going to be a great fight, and I do, you know, it, like you said, there's always going to be people talking in this industry, because, I mean, it's the fight industry. You're not stepping in that cage to play a game of chess. You're stepping in that cage to bash somebody's face in, or to tap somebody out, put them to sleep, you know, so there's going to be crap talk. And I think it's good for the sport, but I think that there is that line that you do need to respect and you don't go beyond it. You know, Chael Sonnen's probably the most popular person in the sport that goes beyond that line time and time again. But I just think I don't ever think there's a situation where you should be attacking people's personal life or their family or relationships, right, whatever. So,
and even with Chael Sonnen, he does it almost in a funny way. I don't know. I find Chael Sonnen to be hilarious. Like, the stuff he says is just so outlandish that, you know, it's almost funny, but there was nothing funny about what Angela Gagne was saying. It was, you know, a direct personal attack, so I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, coming into this fight, you know, you're 3-1, she's 11-5. Does that weigh on you at all, or do you not even care about records? Is it just you're going to step in there and be the more prepared fighter?
Well, I went to Nationals in 2008 for boxing, and I had 8 fights, and I beat a girl that had 89. So numbers don't mean shit. It's that simple. She might have more cage experience than me, but that only gets you so far. I'm a better athlete. I'm stronger. I'm faster. So that's what's going to count. The numbers aren't going to matter. I was supposed to lose to Heather Clark. I saw the polls. I had like 2% chance of beating her, you know. So the numbers don't matter. Numbers don't mean anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, no, what were you saying,
Matthew? No, go ahead, dude.
Now, XFC 25, that's down in Albuquerque. Are you worried about the traveling? Are you worried about any of that, altitude?
Not really. I'm used to traveling. I've never fought local ever. I'm not really concerned with it. I know there's an elevation difference. I have an elevation mask that I don't even use because I don't think it's gonna matter. I don't know. I'm not concerned with it at all. And I know that's her hometown, but there's more people there that hate her than like her. And I've had a lot of those people contact me and tell me that they're gonna be there in support of me. Shit, her own teammates. So
it's gonna be like a hometown fight
good.
For you.
Yeah, pretty much. I know a lot of people from Jackson's camp that, you know, told me that they're going to be there just to hoping that I win, you know. So, that'll be good.
Now, with your fights, do you normally travel, get to the location of your fight before? How many days before do you normally get there?
XFC usually flies me out on Wednesday, and then I fight Friday. So, I get there Wednesday, usually evening, and then Tuesday when I start my weight cut, and then weigh in Thursdays, and then fight Friday. That seems to be the pattern so far. I need that day for weight cutting. I'm a pretty big 115er.
Now, all the pre-fight press, the weigh-ins, all that stuff, does that bother you at all? I know some fighters say that's their least favorite part of it. What are your thoughts on that?
No, the you mean like at the event or the weeks before?
Mostly at the event. I know with promotions like, for example, the XFC and other big promotions like Bellator and stuff, and Invicta, another great women's organization, alongside the XFC, fighters say that they feel uncomfortable. They don't like all the press and the weigh-ins and stuff. They just want to get it over with and get in the cage. It's just stressful.
I don't mind that at all. Once I make weight, once I know I made weight, I'm happy camped, you know, happy camper. So that doesn't bother me at all. My biggest thing is the weeks before, all like the interviews. And I'm not talking about this interview because I'm far enough out that I'm not grouchy yet. But talk to me in another 4 weeks or 3 weeks and my tone is going to change entirely. You know, the last thing you want to do when you're cutting weight really hard and dieting really hard is talk to people after you just got done with, you know, in a training session. And that's probably the most annoying thing for me. But other than that, you know, the press and stuff like that doesn't bother me at all. I don't really mind.
We'll remember that when we, if we get you on another show, we'll remember not to contact let you be.
It's funny if you listen to, like, the recordings, like, you know, I have an interview 8 weeks out, and I'm, you know, chipper and, you know, whatever, and then, like, 4 weeks out, I'm starting to get a little bit more edgy. 2 weeks out, I'm just a bitch.
I'm sure that helps with your actual fight, though.
Yeah.
Now, see, that's what journalists, that's what we don't understand because we haven't gone through that. So
right.
I know a lot of fighters suggest that the people who are actually interviewing the fighters maybe get one amateur fight or so under their belt just to see what it's like to cut weight.
Yeah, especially when you're 5'8", cutting to 115. That's a struggle. So.
Mm-hmm. Has there been any thoughts of switching a weight class?
Yeah, I typically fight at 125. My past two fights have been at 115. My first one was at 115 with Heather, and then, you know, I want the belt. I want the belt at 115, and then I want the belt at 125. So.
Mhm. So that's your plans in your future? Maybe defend the belt a couple times for each.
Yeah, I would like to hold the belt in both weight classes. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would definitely be something to brag about there.
Yeah. We'll see.
Now it's funny that you said you know how you hate doing interviews, talking with people is not something you really want to do close to fight time. That's always something I try and keep in mind when I'm approaching fighters. You know, I'll approach fighters about doing an interview or this and that, and that's always the first thing on my mind is, okay, when is their fight? All right, I don't ever want to approach any fighter, you know, the week of their fight. You know, I know guys around here that people are willing to, you know, we're interviewing a guy later on tonight, Chris Big Boy Jensen, who's fighting tomorrow night. He's like, oh, man, I'd love to be interviewed come fight week and stuff. And I'm like, all right, man, it's up to you. But I have that same mentality. You know, I'm not a fighter, nor I've never fought, but I do know fighters enough to know that I don't ever want to talk to them week up because that's what their focus. And I don't ever want to feel like I was part of them losing focus on something like that. So it's cool to finally hear a fighter go.
I think a lot of it has to do with how much weight a fighter has to cut. You know, if you're only cutting 5 or 10 pounds, if I was only cutting 5 or 10 pounds, I'll talk to you, you know, up to the weigh-in day. You know, when you're cutting a substantial amount, it's a lot of stress and a lot of, you know, nutrients missing in your body, and it just makes you a different person. So, you know, there's actually, you know, a physiological thing that happens in you that really makes you seem like a different person. So, you know, makes sense why fighters don't want to talk, don't want to, you know, discuss stuff when they're that close. But
Absolutely. Cutting weight's a lot of stress on the mind and the body, and it can definitely take a toll on a person. So,
absolutely.
But, listen, Stephanie, man, thanks for joining us. You know, we appreciate it. We love having a great relationship here with the XFC and with the XFC fighters, so it's always a pleasure to interview an XFC fighter, and greatly looking forward to your fight come XFC 25. Before we let you go, though, any shout-outs or any sponsors that you've got, go ahead and give those, and also where people can find you on social media.
You can follow me at DoubleSnowflake on Twitter or Stephanie the Snowflake Egg Inc. on Facebook. I just got a couple new sponsors recently, CNP Performance Supplements just picked me up as a sponsor, which is awesome. Amber Sports Gear is a newer sponsor, and American Knockout, definitely in the top three. Shout out to you.
Right on. Well, thank you for joining us again. Best of luck to your fight. We'll be following along, keeping a close eye on how you're doing, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you fight at XFC 25.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Hey, have a good night.
You too. See you later.
Right on, man. She's ready to go, Spencer. There's no doubt in that, man. She is pumped. She is ready to go. She's putting in the work, and she's ready to take it to her opponent on that come XFC 25, man. It's going to be exciting.
That's just a great card. I mean, there's so many good cards coming up with the events like the XFC, the RFC down in Florida. I'm excited, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Listen, I got the RFC fight card right here in front of me now. Some of these fights, man, the main event, you got Mitchell Chamali versus Gian Herrera for the 125-pound title fight. Jeremy Cook versus Durbin Pioneer Lopez. Oh, my goodness. We got Jason King, Chris Big Boy Jensen, Robert Gonzalez, Marcos Briones, Richard Rodriguez, Jared Warren, Jafar Fort Knox, Dustin Holico, William Quarantillo versus Howard Reese. I know Sean Nightmare Hollis is fighting. I'm not sure who his opponent is. Oh, I'm sorry. We talked to him last week. His opponent was, he told us too, and I'm drawing a blank now. I don't know. I'll see if I can look it up. Ronnie Phillips. Sean Hollis is fighting Ronnie Phillips. Man, it's going to be a great night of fights. And you're right, man. XFC 25 has a stacked card. And it's just going to be an awesome night, man. Listen, we're gonna pause real quick. Let's pause real quick. We're going to run an ad from one of our great sponsors. And listen up, man. This is the gear you want to be wearing.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. while other brands come and go. Intimidation is a brand that represents stability, with over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Yeah, man, Intimidation Clothing.
Absolutely.
They have some nasty designs, dude. They have some great shirts.
Absolutely, man. Listen, I have a couple of the shirts, literally the most comfortable shirts I've ever worn. I absolutely love it. I'm wearing them out to the fights. I'm sponsoring and supporting Intimidation Clothing and Team Madhouse, man. But listen, these are the most comfortable shirts I've ever worn. I absolutely love them. We're going to go ahead and call Chris Big Boy a couple minutes early. My co-host here is going to go ahead and get him ready to go, because I know Chris is – we got a lot we can talk about with Chris beyond just his fight, man. There's so much that we could talk about. Let's just go ahead and get this ready to go. Let me just remember where I put his phone number. I hear somewhere.
under the piles of event stuff that you have, because you cover every single freaking event in Florida.
Close to it. You know what? I got it right here. 1 second. I'm going to copy and paste this bad boy and send it to you, and we're going to go ahead and call him and get him ready to go, because I know he's listening. And 1 second. I got to say, I'm very displeased. I'm very displeased with the quality of Facebook lately.
No, yeah. The people have to understand, all you people out there listening, we had some technical difficulties leading up to seconds before the show. And I'm not one to make excuses, but we were scrambling, man.
We got it going, though. We got it going on time, and so far we're rocking pretty good. There, I got his number. Send it over. We're going to get that rolling here. We'll get Chris on the phone with us, because we got a lot we can talk to this dude about. He's got his hands in all over MMA down here in Florida, and I'm excited to get on. I see him at some of the events. I was talking with him just at an event a couple weeks ago that he helped put together and helped promote, and super excited about getting to see him fight for the first time, man. I've seen a little bit of clips of video, but it's the first time I'm going to get to see him fight live. It happens to be his retirement fight, so it's going to be an awesome night. I know it's going to be a real special night for him, for his friends and family, and I'm just excited to be out there and see that and see many of these other fights that are going to be going down tomorrow night. My co-host is going to jump back in the queue, get him ready to go. Listen, we once again want to say thank you to all of our sponsors. We thank you guys for all that you're doing. Draco Sports, Crossroader Clothing, Game Changer Clothing, BrawlBase.com. ProAmBelts.com, Intimidation Clothing, Jax Media Canada, and Gator MMA down here in Puerto Rico, Florida. So thank you all very, very much. We're going to have a shout-out. Check out at Don's Voice on Twitter, man. Don's Voice does a lot of voiceovers and a lot of narrations for us in our ads and in our promos and stuff. So we want to give a big shout-out to him. Also, another big shout-out to GFL, Go Fight Live, www.gfl.tv, bringing you the absolute best an internet pay-per-view for MMA anywhere on the World Wide Web. There's nobody better than Go Fight Live, so check them out. All right. Once again, Chris Big Boy Jensen fighting Jason King tomorrow night at Real Fighting Championships 28 Battle of the Bay. And I think we've got Chris ready to go.
Yep, Chris Jensen, how are we doing? Live.
What's going on, Chris? How are you doing, buddy?
Excited, kind of chilling. Just got done watching a movie. Played with my dog a little bit. My opponent came in late today. He showed up like at the last minute to weigh in, so I was a little pissed off about that. So it made for a good standoff.
Yeah, I bet.
just getting ready. Like, I was listening to the show, and I'm a heavyweight, bro. I don't have to cut weight, so I'm in a great mood. I was actually eating a Cuban sandwich when I was standing on the scale. So.
Right on, man. So now, as for the weigh-ins, everybody showed up, everybody weighed in?
Yeah, you know, the weigh-ins were very successful. Gian and Mitchell made weight perfect. I mean, these guys were both point on, so it's definitely going to make for a good Florida title fight. You know, these guys both come from great camps. They both got great sparring partners. They both have a good record, and I think this is going to be, like, one of the best fights in RFC history, tomorrow night. So be excited.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I couldn't agree more. I've seen some video on Mitchell. I've seen a lot of video on Gian. Both great young fighters. I think it's a great matchup. I think the RFC team did a great job putting this fight together and making it the main event.
Yep, it's going to be a good one. Also, you got your boy Dervin Lopez.
Yes, sir.
That kid, he comes from the same camps in the same area as Gian, and those guys are solid, man. I mean, you had Yosemite coming from that area. Gian coming from there, that's kind of like the Tampa MMA, the Bill Banks. Those guys are tough as nails. I don't know much about his opponent. I mean, I think you guys might, but, you know, Dervin's coming around my family, so in our group of training people, so you know I'm going to like Dervin on top of it. So that's going to be exciting to fight, too.
Dude, Dervin's a great fighter, man, an absolute beast. I've seen one of his fights live and a few of his fights on YouTube and stuff. Dude's an absolute boost. But he's had a lot of fights fall through lately. And I'm glad that he's got such a great promotion like the RFC to make sure that they put on a good fight and they don't bail on him and they make sure that he's going to actually get to go to war. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that the RFC provides fighters, right? I mean, you know a lot about the RFC. You work closely with Joe Valdez. These guys are top-notch. There's few better than them here in the state, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, you know, one thing about the RFC, bro, is this is where dreams are made. I remember I was about, I think I was 22 years old, my first RFC event, and I was putting flyers in people's cars for Gracie Tampa. Like, I was walking around sticking the flyers in the windshield wipers, you know how you get it like that. Well, I walked outside and I seen this truck and I was about to stick a flyer on it and it was Joe Valdez coming out and he said, "Hey kid, don't put no flyers in my truck." And I was like, "Yeah, all right, whatever," you know. So I walked away and when he went back in, I took like 20 flyers and put it on his truck. So the next event, he saw me at, I was selling Monster Lobster t-shirts. And every time one of my boys, like Paul Barrow, would win a fight or something, I'd throw a Monster Lobster t-shirt in the crowd up in the cage so they'd have to hold it out. And I got dirty looks in there. And the next thing you know, I was training at Gracie Campbell South. Joe Valdez needed a heavyweight. And they put through me in there. And then that was it. I left for a few years and came back and got with them and started running a gym with Anthony Gonzalez and DeCille Berto and Joe Valdez. And now Joe's changed my life. You know, He got me in the RFC. He got me fighting. I haven't been in trouble since I started fighting. I've changed my life, and I owe all my respect and all my loyalty, as well as a lot of these fighters here in Tampa, to the RFC, because if it wasn't for the RFC, you know, these guys wouldn't have been around. So I love the RFC. I'm loyalist to them.
Yeah. Now you touched you kind of opened up for my next where I was going to head to next, and that's the gym that you own. You know, you've part owners out at Tiger World Tampa and Team Outer Limits. How have things been going there since you guys got that running?
You know, with the Tigers World Tampa, that's actually a gym that DeCille Berto, Anthony Gonzalez Jr., and Joe Valdez opened. And it's a fitness gym. You know, we're based around group fitness and cardio boxing and cardio kickboxing and strength and conditioning, but we also are still developing. It's not a full-fledged program yet. We're developing an MMA program with coaches like Defiant Daniel from Team Dark Side. You know, we got Jeff Auburn is coming in. We got guys that go all over and train, cross train, and then we have our home at Tigers World, and that's at Team Dark Side. Team Outer Limits is kind of like our fitness team/amateur MMA team that we do with the amateurs. But once the guys go pro, they move up and kind of go up to Team Dark Side or another team. But then our brother Tigers World in Winter Haven is actually, you know, DeCille Berto, Edson Berto, Jay Lee Cherera, you know, Patrick Sinoble, those guys over there, they've been there since the beginning of MMA in Tampa.
Right on, man. We've seen a few of you guys fighting here or there. You've had some guys fighting, I think, the last two events out at the arena, at the All Sports Arena in Port Richey, you guys have had some guys on those cards. You've had a couple wins, you've had a couple losses, but your guys always show respect and they always show class no matter what the outcome of their fight is.
Yeah, you know, like I said, this MMA program that I've developed here is still very immature, I would call it. These guys are still working together. I got some kids off the street. You know what I mean? These guys are still playing a little bit. They skip practice. But there's a few, like that kid, Evans Villasaint, that fought Efren DePena on the last one. It was fight of the night at the Arena Fighting Championships. That kid got knocked down in the first round and still finished the fight and almost won a decision. That's the kind of heart we're looking for. Those are the kind of athletes that we want to instill in leadership into our gym and grow as an MMA school. Now, when we started this Tigers World Camp, we did not want to do MMA. We just wanted to do fitness. But as a competition, you know, it's a gym. Yeah, I could get into this all night, but it's a business. We have to make money. I have to pay the bills. So we have to utilize all of our talent. Being a bunch of fighters there as trainers, what else can we do besides fitness but train other fighters, maybe even help somebody change their life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that you talked to me. We talked a little bit about at one of the WCFL events. I think two or three WCFL events ago, you mentioned that to me, and I knew that was something that when I got you on the air, I definitely wanted to talk about. That's the changing lives. You know, how you mentioned how, you know, getting involved with Joe Valdez and the RFC changed yours. And in return, you're paying it forward with your team Outer Limits. You're helping kids get off the street, helping them make better decisions and change their life. You know, tell me a little bit more about that. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, first of all, I really have to give credit where credit is due, and I can't leave out the people who really helped change my life. I might have, you know, it's a political thing when you get into being friends with someone and training with someone, but I started out at Gracie Tampa, and those guys pulled me off the street first. And Rob Kahn and Matt Arroyo and all them guys were there for me. Monster Lobster, I worked for him for years. They're the ones that instilled it into me and got me off the street. But then I was a reckless young kid, and I was making bad decisions and making mistakes, and I ran myself right up out of there. Now, what I learned was that you have to respect what people give. You know, I'm one of the ones that always cleaned toilets, built walls, painted walls to pay my dues at the gym. I never had money, but I was there to train every day, and I was there to work and help those guys. So I earned my respect that way. And for years, they were there for me, and then I dipped out. I went pro, got a big head, because I went pro, won my first pro fight. And, you know, I never even went back to the gym after that, which was my mistake. And now, so what I've done is I've instilled, I don't know, a sort of discipline in myself that I want to live through with my students that I have coming into Tigers World Camp, but plus even my fitness people, too, because we change these people's lives. A lady comes in who's been 350 pounds her whole life, and I get her down to 160 pounds in 12 weeks in a 12-week challenge, that changes her life forever. If I take one of these kids off the street who's always told his mother he hates her when she wants him to do things that he doesn't want to do and start whipping his little ass and excuse my language, whipping his little butt in MMA and teaching him discipline, change his life for the rest of his life. I got a kid, Shane McCarthy. He's going in the Coast Guard. He lost 100 pounds in a challenge. He's leaving for Coast Guard this year. He's a senior in high school. Changed his life. He's ready for boot camp. I promise you he beats everybody on the PT course. You know, so that's what we got to do here. We utilize. It's not just about selling a gym membership. It's not just about making a fighter. It's about giving somebody direction when there's not much direction to choose from.
Yeah.
You guys can get me. Hey, you guys can get me going all night. It's the night before I fight, boy.
I wouldn't have brought it up if I didn't want to hear all about it, man. I think that's awesome. We hear that from time to time from some fighters here or there that are helping out in their local communities and helping some kids get off the street and helping people get fit, get in shape, man. And I could never get tired of hearing that. And I would never stop anybody from wanting to talk about it, man, because it's awesome.
Another person that's a part of it and who's a big life changer, and a lot of you fighters that are out there listening know this, is Chris Hickman out of USA Martial Arts in Ocala. Him and Tommy Sauer probably have created half of the fighters in Florida. You know what I'm saying? At one time, they've touched or hit one of us. You know what I'm saying? Those guys have changed people's lives as well. That whole group of circle of the beginning MMA people, Joe Valdez, Chris Hickman, DeCilberto, Rob Kahn, those guys were the first people to bring MMA and make it live here in Tampa, you know, with the RFC, and they're still going, and they're still changing lives. You know, I'm everybody kind of knows this, but this is my last fight, bro. Like, this is it for me, because I am a better human being at training people, teaching people, and being able to focus on running my gym than I am a fighter who has to train 8 weeks, who has to worry about training two times a day, who has to worry about being in cardio condition, who has to worry about getting hurt, and if I can't work, I can't come to work. I make more money promoting these events, helping these fighters, than I do training 8 weeks for a fight. Now, if I make it to the UFC level or something like that sometime, which I'm not really planning on it, you know, it's just not what I do it for. I do it for because it was a hobby. I started out doing jiu-jitsu. I was good at it. People started saying, "Dude, what do you do in MMA? You got some hands." I got in some trouble, and I went somewhere where I wasn't supposed to be, and I started boxing while I was there. When I came out, I had jiu-jitsu and boxing, started doing MMA, and I started kicking ass, and I did good. I'm 1-1 as a pro. I've done jiu-jitsu tournaments. I've trained for God knows how long. I've always half-assed it, you know what I'm saying? But I've got what I wanted out of it. Now, if I wanted to be one of these young stud champions like George St. Pierre or something like that, yeah, I would live in the gym. I wouldn't leave the gym. I'd just have a cot in the back, and everybody, I'd wash in the shower. You know, but what I wanted out of this is I want to be a part of everybody. If everyone that's listening to this show right now has never met me, then they haven't been in the MMA business long enough. You know what I mean? And if they did met me, I was either doing something for them or trying to help them. Because this business has changed my life. This sport changed my life. It changed my father's life because I was this punk kid who kept getting in trouble. Dad was upset. Dad was about to write me off. You know what I mean? Next thing you know, I pick this up. Guess what? Dad's been my corner man for all my fights. Dad's here this weekend. It's his birthday. I'm bringing home a win for him. Tonight he got to see me stand off with my opponent. I was a little pissed off because my opponent was late and I almost punched him in the face at weigh-ins. But I can't because then I would have to use my bondsman and my attorney. Tomorrow night I don't have to use that. So, anyways, squirrel.
right on, man. You say you almost wanted to punch him in the face at the weigh-ins. You know what's now as a guy who really doesn't have to cut weight, there's still a major respect and professionalism factor by showing up at weigh-ins two, three hours late. Obviously that made you a little angry, but say that's one of your fighters. You know, if that's one of your guys at Team Outer Limits, what do you have to say to him about showing up at weigh-ins two, 3 hours?
I can't say much because I know what happened. I know the kid's situation, Jason King's situation. He had some technical difficulties there, and I can vouch for him that he's legit. He's here now. But, I just feel that, man, I had to be there at 5 o'clock after – and the cage that we're using is my cage, so I had to put the cage all in the truck today. So I've been going all day, and I just want to weigh in and go home. Hang out with the dog and watch some movies with the girl, you know, and I had to stay there till 8 o'clock because I really didn't have to, but this is my last fight. I want the standoff pictures. I want to mean mug him. I'm pissed off. I want him to know that I'm not here to fucking play. Excuse me, I cussed again. Sorry, guys. Matt, edit that out. So, I just want to, a lot of people that know me think they know I'm half-assed. Right. A lot of people that know me that I've trained with, I was at camps. Like I've been at world-class martial arts. I was there for a year with Ralph and them. And the frustration that you get out of me is that sometimes I'll just not show up for camp. You know what I mean? Just one day. But this camp here, I'm telling you, this camp is different because this is my last fight. This is a group of people that I have to prove something to. I have to prove to all these guys that, hey, I'm not just good at teaching it. I'm not just good at living it. I'm good at doing it. So this fight, I am determined. I am determined to smash this kid. Now, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I do know how I'm going to do it. One of my game plans, and I don't care, it's the night before the fight. One of my game plans is I just want to stand up and knock him out and get the TK up. But what school did I start at? I started at Gracie Tampa. So you know I got jiu-jitsu. And I was there for a long time. So I'm thinking about this, you know what? Let's take this kid to the ground. Let's submit his ass and ground and pound his ass real quick, and let's get out there and have a couple beers with these guys. You know, let's enjoy this time. You know, that's kind of where I'm at right now. But, you know, honestly, I'm just there to put a good show. I'm prepared for whatever. I'm going to let him try me out. The kid's never made it out of the first minute of a pro fight. So let's see how far we can drag him before we let him out, let him go in that deep water. You know what I'm saying?
Now, you said this is your retirement fight. If you get a dramatic knockout, a spectacular submission, is there any way you'd fight again?
Yeah, but I probably can't. There's only one other person I want to fight, but I can't say who it is. But I would only fight one other person. I'm not going to say who it is. There's only one other person that I would fight in the MMA ring, and that's because this is MMA, baby. And I've been fighting my whole life. Like, here's my theory on this. All right, this is my little theory, which I'm probably sticking my foot in my mouth. But MMA isn't just tough guys. All right, MMA is got a lot of tough guys in it, but also MMA is very technical. So what happens is you get these guys who study the martial art and they're so stuck on themselves on one martial art, and they get in there and do MMA, and then they can't use that martial art they got. Like, if I was just a jiu-jitsuist and I wanted to go up against a boxer and that boxer had takedown defense, I'd be in trouble, right? So you got to have balanced fighters. Well, I feel like I'm pretty balanced. Like, I'm just, for myself, I feel like I'm balanced. I feel like my only issue is I always have to get good cardio. I always have to be cardio. Otherwise, my cardio goes down. So the only person that I would fight is there's just one other person in Tampa. I can't say it, man. I can't say it because I'm not going to get my boss will punch me in my face tomorrow when he sees me. So, but there's one other person I would fight, and if he was healthy enough to do it, I would fight him in a heartbeat because I know we could sell some tickets, I know we can make some money, and I would prove a point. But I doubt I'll ever fight again because I'm too lazy. This is my last camp, man. I mean, I trained with Defiant Daniel and Team Darkside. Let me tell you something. I trained with a lot of different camps, but those guys right there, holy shit. If you can't get in shape for within one of their camps, you just can't get in shape. So I'm ready for this one. And this if I do fight again, it will be really soon. But I doubt I'm going to because, like I said, man, I can once I retire as a fighter, I can actually become a pro promoter without getting in trouble. And that's where it's at. You know, Joe's been guiding me in this amateur thing, helping me with these amateur cards. I mean, you got to admit, that Arena Fighting Championship card was pretty fucking awesome. You know what I mean? That was a good card. So that was me, Matt Gary, and Joe making that card. And it was like to the last day we had fighters that we didn't even know who we were going to fight yet. So it was the last day. People, you know how these amateur guys are. They pull out, pull in, whatever. But the last day we built this card, and it was just so perfect. And those Russians came, and they cleaned house. And then that title fight with that decision, and it was perfect, you know. So I liked it. I had more fun doing that. Plus, I don't have to worry about getting hurt. I don't have to worry about training. I can focus on my gym, and I still got as many fans.
Yeah. Right on, man. That was a great fight card, and I knew that you guys had a lot to do with putting it on and stuff, man. What about your dude out of Team Darkside getting that 19-second knockout, man, the first fight of the
night? Yeah. He actually broke the guy's leg, man. He hit him so hard in the face that the guy fell and broke his leg. That actually happened to Mike Greason was fighting, I think it was Clint Black or something like that in the RFC way back, and Mike Greason hit him so hard that he broke the kid's leg, and that's what happened there. And then, but the fight, what about that decision, dude? What did you think about that?
The main event decision?
Yes.
I thought they called it right, man. I thought that I thought they called it right. You know, I sat there. I happened to be sitting next to Mike Gattuso that night from Global Fighting Solutions. And before the decision cards even came over to him, I said, you know what? I said, I know how they're going to call this. And sure enough, they came over. I think they made the right call there. I think, obviously, you know the ATT Cape Coral guys, they're not happy about it, sure. But, you know.
I'm going to give them boys a rematch. I'm going to give them boys a rematch on the next one, the September 28th card. So those two from the one Gracie Temple West kid and the ATT kid, I'm going to try to get them a rematch. I was going to have the kid fight Tony Leone, but I'm going to save Tony Leone for something else, and I want that rematch because that was close, bro.
Yeah, it was a great fight, though, man. I think that, you know, I think in this fight game, you know, like I said earlier with our first guest, I'm not a fighter. I've never stepped in a cage, and I would never consider myself or call myself a fighter. I think you got to earn that title. But when you leave it to the judges, you know, you just have to deal with the way the judges rule it. You know, I understand fighters being unhappy with sometimes the decisions that come down. But you're a fighter. Your job is to finish the fight. You know, and if you can't do that, then you know, sorry, but how the judges rule the fight is how they rule it. And sometimes they get it wrong, sometimes they get it right. In this case, I thought they got it right. I thought Davis did more to win the fight, and I thought Sean Fields just was on the short end of the card this time around. But I think it's a great call giving them a rematch.
Yeah, I think they definitely earned it. you know, my first encounter with judges and bad decisions was I was with Gracie Tampa South, and Matt Arroyo fought Dan Kramer in the UFC. And I watched that fight because that's my dog. I mean, that's my homeboy. It's like, wow, the first person, one of my friends that I've seen actually go make it. And I'm watching the whole fight. I'm watching Matt, and he's laying on his back, and he's going after submission attempts, and the guy was on top of him. And the guy wins the fight at the end, and I'm just like, wow, he got robbed. So I remember the guy came, Matt came back from Vegas, and I remember the kid telling me the first thing he said was, man, never let it go to the judges. So I live by that shit. Like, I'm either finishing that fight or getting killed doing it. Because I am not letting them three little people on the cage tell me how my performance was when I know I controlled. And the way they score these amateurs, it's, I don't know, it's weird. But whatever, you know. But I'd love to see that fight again. I'm going to love to see that rematch. I'm actually thinking about doing this grappling tournament, submission-only grappling tournament there that day. You know, just because there's kind of a good amount of schools in Newport Richey, Citrus County, and St. Pete that would probably compete in something like that, and it would help. And but I'm just trying to see how much money I got to get together and what we can do and how we can get it and if it would be better to have a kid's one or an adult one and all those good things. So that amateur,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That arena fighting championship thing is going to blow up, I think. So that's going to be a good one.
Yeah, man. You guys already working on the fight card for the next event?
Already got it. I think we got it halfway done right now, and we're still taking people. We're still taking fighters, and I want to make it more. I want to have at least set for 15 fights just in case, so we'll at least have 10 fights. But I think we had 12 or 11 on this last card, and, man, if it wasn't for that ambulance leaving with that guy with the fractured skull, we would have been okay. So.
Yeah, that was crazy. I heard that. I'm sitting K-side, and I heard they're talking he fractured his skull. I'm like, what? I took off out that back door trying to find him, and luckily I got about a five-second look at him before he had to get in the ambulance and leave. But dude had about a quarter-sized dent right in his forehead above his eye socket, and that was crazy. I never seen anything like that, but he was kind of standing there like it was nothing, kind of just didn't look fazed by it at all. But this is a nice little...
Yeah,
nice
it wasn't board. Really... It, you know, at that point, at that front of your skull, there's actually, you have a sinus, like... There's like a cartilage where the sinuses are, and it'll cave in. And I think that's really what happened. He did have a fractured skull, but I think it was the front part of his skull that there's not, it's not like the big part of your skull, the real thick part, but there's like tissue in the front where right above your eye where the sinuses were. That's how the person was explaining it to me, the insurance person anyways. So he's fine. The kid's fine. It gets us talking, and maybe something to bring up for you guys for real quick is that these amateur fighters that come in that fight independent. I don't know if you guys have talked about that before, but these guys come in, and they don't have a gym to train at, either A, because they don't have the money, or B, because they think there's some tough guy off the street who just needs to get put in check. And a lot of these people, a lot of the other promoters are shoning down on them and looking at them, but you know what? They got that shit in the pros too. They got that stuff in the pros as well. There's guys who don't train at a gym, they train in their backyard, and they still fight pro, and they do good. I know a few of them. But what we need to be doing is we need to be being loyal to our sport, loyal to our discipline. We need to be selling these guys a gym membership, figuring out a way to help them make money. You know what I mean? Like, when I first started doing it, that's how it was. Dude, when I went to Gracie Campbell the first time, how I got all my jobs? Those guys would find me jobs. I'm working for Monster Lobster at the Monster Lobster. I would go paint their gym. I would go build walls. They would find things for me so I could pay my dues. They would make it work. That's why that school is such a solid family school, and that's why they're successful. Now, that's what if these kids that are coming off the streets are these amateurs. I mean, look how they've made amateur. It's basically sparring. If I was an amateur fighter, I'd fight every week. I mean, because it's sparring. You get three-minute rounds with shin pads, and then I can't ground and pound. Well, okay. And then we can ground pound after three fights. Might as well go pro. So it's either – so what's going down with it is we got to get these guys in the gyms. We got to sell them memberships. We got to get them going so that they don't hurt themselves or get hurt in the cage like this, like happened that night. But
yeah.
The kid actually had some gym time, and I had a trainer there for him, and I guess the trainer, I don't know, he disappeared when his boy got knocked out or got arm-barred.
Yeah, man, you see, from time to time, you're exactly right, dude. If these guys are serious about wanting to do this, And I understand not being able to afford gym fees to get in and train, man. Sometimes it's pricey getting to get into this stuff, and not everybody can afford it. You got guys working two, three jobs, or they're just trying to make ends meet. but they have these dreams. They want to be fighters. I think Jim's got to work with them, like you're saying, man. You know, like Jim's did for you, where they said, okay, you know, you did this and that for them around the gym, and then they let you train. I think more gyms need to be open to that idea and to that mindset. You know, you'll quickly find out who's serious about it and who's not. If a guy is not serious about it, he's not going to show up to do the work. He's just going to want to work out.
Honestly, every trainer that I named tonight that I trained with, I did some kind of work for them. And if they're listening, they're probably shaking their head going, freaking big boy. But I did either some kind of construction work for them on their gym, or I helped around their gym, or I helped them sell memberships or something like that, because I felt that with what you're giving me by letting me use your facility and your knowledge, it was, if I knew then what I know now, I would have been so loyal, more loyal than I was. I was just a young kid, man, running on young, dumb, and full of, you know, diesel fuel. So, and now I'm getting older now, and I'm starting to see my career path, and I'm starting to see where, you know, the power to be wants me to be. He wants me to be in this business, and he wants me to help these people. And then anybody that I ever had anything to do with, they should be proud of me because they created me, you know, and that's that, kind of like that post I put on Facebook. They just showed me how to do this. I mean, you should be proud that you showed me how to do this. I mean, look at my boss, Anthony Gonzalez Jr., Joe Valdez. They have faith in me to let me run their gym and to put a program together that's successful, and we're doing great. You know, we have 16 gyms in a three-mile radius of ours, and ours is different than everyone's. So that's thinking outside the box. The MMA is the same way, you know. And so just with the growth of the sport, it's being more successful every day for us. And then fitness sells as much as the training.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Now what's your pick for fight of the night tomorrow night?
Ooh, oh, well, I'm not going to tell you, because mine's going to be quick, because I'm going to finish this shit quick. Mine's going to be like, did Big Boy fight already? Yeah, Big Boy just followed out with Big Boy. You know, it'll be quick. But I think, I'm going to be honest with you, I got to put the money on my boy Marcos.
Marcos Briones.
Yeah, I got to put my money on him. The kid's a debuter. You know, I train with him. He's, what is he, 145, and he spars with me. Let's put it that way. You know what I'm saying? The kid can hit hard. One day they put us together doing flow drills, and I said, Marcus, light it up. And I let him start throwing blows at me because I'm a little bigger guy, and I can take the shots. And, man, let me tell you what, this kid can hit, and he is dedicated. He's that GSP mindset that trains every day, that wakes up at the crack of dawn to eat, you know, a raw egg and drink his own piss. You know, I don't – I'm not really – he doesn't really do that. But I'm saying that's the type of athlete this kid is. You know what I mean? And I'm looking to see this kid – Tear, I guess he's fighting. He's fighting one of Hurley's guys, I believe. You know what's the name of that his fighter he's fighting?
Right here in front of me. Robert Gonzalez.
Robert Gonzalez. He's one of Hurley's guys. Kid was shedding a few pounds there tonight. He had to shed a few pounds to make weight, but he made it. I think that's going to be fight of the night, and it's the first fight of the night. The first fight of the night is Briones.
First fight.
And then I'm second. So I'm second fight of the night because I want to get it over with, and I want to go out there and hang out with everybody and try to be cool daddy big boy, you know. But, you know, I trained hard for this fight, bro, and I earned some – I don't care what happens. I'm going in there to show everybody that this guy is no joke, and I'm glad he retired, you know, because now I don't have to stand in front of him. But let me tell you about this, too. I got something hot for you guys. You ready for it? RFC in November, heavyweight state championship. Guess who it's between? Tommy Sauer, Chris Barnett in the RC. What do you think about that?
Ooh, Chris, big baby Barnett?
No, Beast Boy. That big baby
boy,
is Marcus.
Beast Boy, yeah.
Big
yeah,
baby is Marcus Jones.
Beast Boy Barnett.
And Tommy,
oh, man,
Tommy Trauma Sauer.
That is awesome, man. Chris, I've interviewed Chris a few months back. Great dude. He had some other fights kind of fall through here or there, man. That is a big land for the RC, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, we, you know, Chris is just a genuine great guy. I mean, when you want to talk about an athlete, the guy is an athlete. I mean, he's a big dude, you know, 300-pound guy. This guy can do backflips. He can do Superman double punches, spinning heel kicks. He's a beast, boy. And, you know, the good thing about Chris is, you know, he had some eye issues and he got that fixed. He had some issues with this fight in the Bellator fight. Remember, he didn't show up for the Bellator fight with him and Tommy. And he had some issues, some legal issues that happened, but now he's healthy. Now he's legal, and we got to talk to him. We got a verbal agreement from both of them at this point right now. And so we're looking to book that for November. That's going to be the state heavyweight title, too. So that's going to be exciting. That's going to be a big card. We're going to have time to put that together. And that's I'm excited because that's going to be the first pro card that I'm legally allowed to help with. So I'm real excited about that.
That is awesome, dude. Listen, man, we're going to have to wrap it up, man. It's been awesome. We will have you back on. It's been awesome. We could probably go a whole show with you just as a guest co-host.
You know, actually, I actually just got a job as a co-host on XP TV, or Club TV. So that's kind of cool, too, because I got a big mouth, whatever. Peace, everybody. It's MMA. I love it.
Right on, man. Listen, man, thanks for joining us. Any shout-outs or sponsors you want to give?
I got some awesome sponsors. Awesome sponsors, man. Obviously, number one sponsor is Berta Gonzalez. Anthony Gonzalez Jr. is like a father to me. NFE gave me the supplements for this fight camp, so I was able. You'll be able to see me tomorrow night. I still got my big country heavyweight figure, and I was able to train 6 days a week. I got a new clothing line that's been repping me out of California. It's called Fat Boy, and they got a little picture of Cartman on all the clothing, so it's cool because I'm a big boy. You know, I kind of teach the heavyweights, and it's good tough, but. Another sponsor that this lady, I'm telling about people changing lives, is Bridget's Bail Bonds. And this lady's been sponsoring me since my whole career. She bonded me out of jail once when I got in trouble and seen that I was an athlete, started helping me. Then come to find out she'd known me 20 years, and this lady always supports me. She supports local MMA, and she's just always a big help. So also, Mr. Paparazzi, Robert Richards, you already know he's the greatest photographer ever. So thanks, guys. I appreciate it, man. See you tomorrow night. Hey, if you got to get in, just if anything, just ask for me. All right?
Yeah, man. Give me a seat, cage side. I want to see the fights right up close.
I got you, bro. We got you. We're going to get you a media pass.
All right, man. Take it easy, man. Thanks for joining us. I'll
see you
tomorrow night.
Okay.
Right on, man. That's Chris Big Boy Jensen ready to go to war tomorrow night, man. Dude's got a lot to say. I do want our fans, anybody listening to know, he will be a regular. We will have him back. We got plenty that we can talk about with him. Guy's got opinions on everything, knows a lot about the sport, just a great mind to pick at. So we want to thank you, Chris, for joining us tonight. And he's getting ready to go to war tomorrow night. So I'm excited, man. Any MMA fan should be excited. It's going to be a great night of fights tomorrow night. And to know that they've already got some fights, and they're already talking about some fights for RFC 29, that is going to be awesome, just absolutely awesome. So, Spencer, you there, buddy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just listening to that great interview, man.
Do we have a caller on mute, or what we got going on?
I'm not sure. It appears we have somebody that's muted right now. I'm not sure. What do you want me to do here?
let's unmute them and see if they've got a question or see if they want to talk to us real quick. We're gonna be having Alana Jones on with us here in the next couple minutes. So let's unmute them real quick and see if they want to ask us something.
I just want to give a quick shout out to my coach, Chris Big Boy. Good luck tomorrow.
All right, man.
Hey,
Dad
Boy, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Make sure you come out and support us.
Hey, buddy, what's your name?
Fat Boy.
All right, man. Well, thanks for calling in, man. You know, Chris is a great dude, and we're looking forward to seeing him fight tomorrow night.
All right, thanks, bro. All
right, man. Take it easy.
All right.
Hell, there we go, man. That's awesome. You know, just showing goes to show you that Chris is making an impact in some people's lives, man. So, right. If you want to go ahead, jump behind the scenes, get Alana Jones ready to go. Talk with her a little bit this evening. I've got to give a big shout out to Alana for coming on last minute, being able to come on and join us tonight. So we appreciate that very much. While he's getting Alana ready to go, let's give a shout out real quick. We got, I think, one of our sponsors wants to say a couple words.
Cast Iron Supplements only carries the strongest, most effective products on the market today. With free shipping in the U.S. and only $10 shipping on out-of-country orders, we stand behind the products we promote. For information on wholesale distribution of our lines, visit castironsupplements.com. Cast Iron Supplements. Strong. Rigid. Unyielding. Get Cast Iron Strong.
Absolutely, man. Make sure you're getting the right stuff. I think that's, man, let's see. Oh, wait, I think we got another one of our sponsors here ready to say something.
Jax Media.
helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Right on, man. Just a couple of our great sponsors. I think we got Alana Jones on the line. I think Spencer's getting her ready to go. Are you with us, Alana?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Alana, I got to say, first and foremost, thank you so much. I hit you up last minute. We just had a back out here with somebody who wasn't able to be with us, and I saw that you were online, and I was like, oh, want to get Alana back on the air, and you stepped up, and I just want to say, again, thank you very much for joining us last minute here to talk with us for a few minutes.
Yeah,
you're
welcome.
Alana
steps up for everybody. I feel like you're the go-to girl in the country.
thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
Right on. Now, you know, you're coming off your legacy fight. How you feeling? Obviously, everybody knows how that went. Unfortunate. Just a vicious kick. And how you feeling now?
I'm doing all right. Doing a lot better now. Definitely no one likes to lose like that. So. But I'm doing a lot better now.
Right on. Now, what's on deck for you? You got anything lined up? Are you kind of taking some time off?
Don't have anything lined up right now. Possibly could be something happening in October or November, but not for sure. Right now, I'm just I got a fractured bone in my arm from blocking one of Holly's kicks. So I'm in a cast for 6 weeks, so I'm just going to be letting that heal for a little bit.
Right on. So you're. I'm guessing you're at home up in Michigan and just sitting back, relaxing a little bit.
Yeah, I'm still gonna be. I'll probably be back in the gym next week doing some cardio work and stuff. Keeping active and staying in shape, so I'm not out of shape when it comes to next fight time.
Right on. So what did you say anything to your opponent after your legacy fight, or did I saw you guys kind of, you congratulated her. What did you say to her after that fight?
I just said congratulations. It was an honor to get in the cage with her. So that was
right
on.
And was that like a, was that you stepped up, Spencer, you made a comment that she's like the go-to girl and she steps up for people. Was that a fight where you stepped up and took that fight on a short notice, or how did you get hooked up with the legacy fights?
Well, I've seen a post that Sam put on Facebook saying that she was looking for an opponent, and I just simply inboxed her and asked her who was the opponent, and she said it was Holly Holmes, and I was like, oh wow, I would love to take this fight. I mean, a huge opportunity, and you know, getting a win over Holly Holmes would be huge for me, so. And then I talked to a manager, and he said, yeah, let's do it. So after that, you know, got the okay from CFA and was able to take the fight.
Right on. And now you still are under contract with CFA, correct?
Yes.
And you've got how many more fights are left on that contract?
If I can remember right, maybe two more or one more. Been a while since I've looked at the contract, but I know it's a few more.
How have you liked being with CFA? You fought twice for them so far. What's your experience been like with them?
It's been a great experience fighting with CFA so far. I mean, I've liked everything. I like everything about the promotion, and the last few times I've been out there, they treated me well. So, I mean, I have no complaints. I'm really happy to be fighting for them.
Now, how did you get connected with the CFA?
Through a manager. I guess he had people go out there before a fight, and he told me about the 145 tournament, and I was excited to be able to be involved in the first tournament for women.
Mm-hmm. Now, the comments I made, the comment I made earlier when I first had you on, all I meant by that was you definitely step up for the big fights. You're always the go-to one, and I think you were the same way with the radio show tonight. So that definitely warrants a ton of respect for both of those things. And I mean, I was automatically a fan as soon as I saw you fight for the first time.
Well, thank you.
Hey, no problem.
So what are you doing in your downtime? You know, you're at home, you're relaxing. What are you doing?
Just at home relaxing right now. Spending time with my family and my mom right now is what I've been doing. Just being on chill mode.
Just taking it easy. You like to just kind of, when you do get time to relax, you like to get away from the sport and just kind of focus completely on the family?
Yeah. That's about it. I'm usually always around family and people that I love, so.
Right on. I mean, a lot of time with fighters, I get the same response from fighters saying, you know, there's not really downtime with being a fighter. So I like to hear when a fighter is saying that they have gotten some downtime, got to relax a little bit, and spend time with families. I think it's important. I think fighters, you guys spend so much time training, so much time in a gym and just putting your nose to the mat and working. So it's great to hear when you get to kind of sit back, relax, enjoy time with your family, and kind of treasure those good times.
Yeah, it's definitely important to do that. You know, you can get so caught up in training and you forget about that. So it's real important.
Now, for one of your regular training camps, how much time do you normally spend training?
At least about 3 hours a day I'm in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes longer, depends on how hard I'm working or, you know, how tough the fight is, and I like to be well prepared for every fight.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said you were still under contract with the CFA. Is that definitely where your next fight's going to be, or are you looking for after your arm's healed, are you looking for another fight before fighting for the CFA again?
I really don't know. I mean, I'm going, if I can get one before that, then it's cool. If not, then I'm just going to wait for CFA and see what they got for me. But, you know, I like to stay busy, so we'll see how things go after my arm heal and what my manager says and what he has for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while you're getting to relax and kind of spend some time off, or do you sit back and watch some MMA? Do you follow along with some of the, you know, Bellator, UFC, anything like that?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm always watching some type of fighting on the television. If whether it's boxing or UFC, or Bellator. Looking forward to the UFC this weekend. So it'll be cool. I enjoy watching it a lot. And you can always learn from watching a lot of fights.
What's it like as a fighter watching other fights on the TV? Is it different from where before you were, maybe before your career started, you were just a normal girl watching fights? Now you're actually a fighter watching them. Is there a different view of it?
Yeah, it's a different view because you know what you're doing, you know what you're watching, and when you're watching a fight, you can see different things that the fighter can do in the fight, and then you're yelling at the TV, and it's like, hey, let's do that. So it's like you can see it in a whole different way.
Mm-hmm. Does it make you want to get back in the cage as soon as possible?
Yeah, definitely.
Fuels that hunger. Keeps that fire burning, I bet.
Yeah, I go to a lot of amateur shows here in Michigan, and just watching everybody else prepare for fights, and then watching it up in person just makes me more anxious to get in there.
Yeah. Now, what's that like? You know, coming from Michigan, living in Michigan, I'm guessing you've probably lived there a long time. When you come down and you fight in Miami, you know, what's that? It's kind of like culture shock, huh? You got two different parts of the world, and you're going from like nice temperature, even when it's hot up there, but it probably still feels nice outside. You come down here, and even in our winter time, you're like sweating. You don't even have to cut weight. You could walk outside for 5 minutes and be on weight.
Yeah, it's definitely different to Michigan. Coming from Michigan and going up to Texas is real different. The weather was real nice. I mean, it wasn't too hot. It wasn't, you know, too cold. I did go for a walk during nighttime and like saw this huge cockroach that I screamed like a little girl. I was like, oh my God, they live outside.
Yeah, I was
scared to step on them. I mean, they're scared of me, and they're running from me, and I'm running from them. My coach is laughing at me. So,
hey, there's no shame in that. Those things are pretty disgusting.
Yeah, they are.
Hey, man,
I'm here. I'm down here in Ohio, so I'm not too far from you, and I know exactly what you mean by going down to Florida or Texas. I personally have never been to Texas, but I was down in Florida a couple months ago, and it's definitely different.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, imagine being down here every day, man. There's nowhere you can't escape this heat, man. It just follows you everywhere you go.
No, I mean, that wouldn't be no problem for me. I wouldn't have too much trouble cutting weight, so I'd be sort of happy and miserable at the same time.
Now, Alana, do you ever come down to the events down in Ohio to watch?
It's been a while since I've been down there to some events down there. Cause, you know, I used to fight down there a lot in my amateur days, so it's been a while. Maybe a year or two since I've been down there. But it definitely would be nice to come down and watch some shows.
Hey, well, we have NAAFS August 3rd. If you're free, we have some great events here. And maybe when that
I missed that promotion a lot. It's where most of my fights have been at.
You fought there, what, 4 or 5 times?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely need to go down there and watch a show. It would be cool.
Hey, when that contract's up, we still have some great MMA here. We'd love to have you at an event.
I would love to fight for the guys again, man. I enjoyed fighting down there. It was like awesome, and the fights were great. And I miss it, honestly. I do.
I'm sure they'd have you in on the seat.
That's messed up, Spencer, man. Stop trying to steal her away, man. Right now she belongs to Florida MMA. We want to keep her down there.
Hey, I'm just trying to get her to fight in Ohio, man.
Man, that's just not right. Florida MMA is like that.
No, I want to say that I said after her contract's up.
Well, yeah. After her contract's up, there's other promotions here in Florida that she should sign with. Listen, Alana, I don't want to keep you any longer. I want to say thanks for joining us. Like I said again, big shout out for stepping up last minute. I know you're at home relaxing. I appreciate you taking a few minutes aside to talk with us. I've had a thrill interviewing you before, and like I said, major props and respect for stepping up here like an hour and a half ago and agreeing to do a short little interview with us. I appreciate it much. Wish the best for you, Alana. And Any shout-outs or any sponsors you want to give before we let you go?
Just want to give a shout-out to my sponsors that sponsored me from the last fight. I want to shout-out Rise Management, Pat Wilson. The manager has been doing a great job so far. I want to shout-out Title Shot, Vengeance Fightwear, MMA Madhouse, I hate doing this. I sometimes forget. I'm a beast. And if I leave anybody out, I'm so sorry. Oh, it's a very fight where. And if I left anybody else, I'm so sorry. And thank all my sponsors. And then, you know, friends and family and that's been supporting me and all my coaches and everybody, Team Terrell out of Chicago that's been letting me come down and train with them, Muay Thai. Thank you guys, Ricardo Perez, and all my fans that supported me. So thank you.
Right on. Well, we appreciate it again that you're for joining us. Take it easy. We'll be following you and keeping up with what you got going on, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me on
the
show.
Hey, I wish you.
Hey, I wish you a speedy recovery.
Thank you.
All right, take it easy.
All right, you take care now.
Bye.
Right on, man. Once again, thank you to Alana Jones jumping on last minute here, talking with us for a few minutes. She's at home relaxing with her family. I didn't want to keep her long. You know, I just wanted to you know, get somebody in a third interview tonight and saw her online and have had fun talking with her before. So, again, a big much appreciation to her for doing that. And looking forward to seeing her get back in the cage. You know, if you saw her last fight at Legacy Fights, man, as an MMA fan, that was a beautiful knockout. You know, it's unfortunate that she was on the receiving end of that knockout. I did not like to see that. I'm a big fan of Alana's, but when you're watching that as a fan of this fight game, that's an awesome knockout, man. That was a beautiful kick, and you know, she was out cold. Good to see that she's okay. She's got the arm that she's recovering from, but hopefully that, you know, she gets recovered fast and she can get back in the cage very soon. Definitely want to see her fighting again.
Yeah, and I just want to point out, she's not fighting scrubs. She fought Holly Holm, who was 3-0 before that fight, and she's projected to be the next big thing in women's MMA. And then before that, Alana
fought
Fallon Fox. So it's not like she's fighting these easy fights. She's fighting like the who's out there, and that's what I meant by her stepping up. She's not scared. She doesn't back down. So that's why I'm a fan of hers.
Yeah. Hey, man, I think we got somebody that wants to say something real quick.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
All right, man. I just wanted to do that. I love that song. So
I was wondering. I was confused for a second. I was like, "Are we done? Is this our new closing song?"
No, man. That's just one of my all-time favorite songs. That's "Free" by Powerman 5000. Used to be my walkout, my intro song music for Full Guard Fight Radio, and you know, now here on Cage Zombies, we don't use. You know, I like that we don't do the personal walkout. We come out. We have a nice intro that we walk out to here at Cage Zombies, but just sitting here messing around behind the scenes, and I saw it there, so I just wanted to hear a little Power Man 5000, that's all.
Well, there you go, guys. Some Power Man 500, what, 5000 is that? Is that what it is?
Power Man 5000, man. I thought you were a metal.
I've heard of him before. Isn't that Rob Zombie's brother?
Rob Zombie's younger brother. Dude, they're awesome, man. You're a metal guy. You should be all over Power Man 5000.
Dude, I corrected myself. I've heard of them before. I'm not the biggest fan. They are good, though. I just haven't really listened to them that much.
All you got to do is sit down and listen to the Transform CD. That's it, man. They've got a lot of great CDs, but just listen to Transform. Make that a goal of yours this week. By our next show, I want you to be able to tell me about Transform.
That That's right, folks. Next week you'll hear my recap of that album.
Next week we're not talking about MMA. Next week is all about Power Man 5000. No, I'm just kidding.
Kids on radio, we speak metal.
Yeah, before we run out of time, man, I know there's a show you want to give a shout-out to, so go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I want to do a little transition here. I wasn't trying to steal Alana to Ohio. I wasn't trying to kidnap her and bring her down here. To the NAAFS, we have an event August 3rd. It's Cage Vengeance 14. I believe there's like 18 fights on this card, about 13 or 14 amateur. And then the professional bouts, we have Andrew Huffman of Demolition Fight Team versus Dustin Kemp of Instigator Fight Team. And then Rhett Northcraft, he's an independent fighter. And then Kyle Rosowitzki of Evolve MMA, Wes Hansen of Leon Ramsey's Doghouse Gym, and we have not found an opponent for him yet. And then the heavyweight bout, James Rankin versus Jeff Hughes. It's going to be an awesome event. It's at Veterans Hall in Carrollton, Ohio. That's up north in Ohio. It's a great card, amateur and pro. It's going to be good. Definitely, if you're a supporter of local MMA, that's a card in Ohio that you have to check out.
Right on, man. Every card you got to check out, man. Get out there and support local MMA. Don't just sit at home. Watch Bellator, watch UFC, watch the stuff that's on TV. There's great promotions on TV. Don't get me wrong, man. There's great, you know, these promotions don't get on TV by sucking. They get on TV because they're doing something right. But they're not doing anything without these local promotions, man. These guys, UFC doesn't have fighters. UFC, Bellator, these guys, they don't have fighters without these local promotions for these fighters to go somewhere and fight to before they get to that stage. So make sure you're supporting your local MMA. Seek it out. You know, local MMA is not available everywhere, but it's available in more places than you could imagine. I had no idea when I started this stuff that there was so much MMA here in Florida. And then I started getting into it. I started looking it up, researching it here and there, and I'm like, wow, it's freaking everywhere. Promotions all over the place. And in this last year, there's been such a spike in promotions that it's just awesome, man. I get the pleasure of covering events quite often, and I love it, man. There's always great events going on down here in the Tampa area, in the South Florida area, and up in North Florida too, and it's just awesome, man. So get out there, find them, support them, and help the sport grow, man. The sport's going to continue to grow by our support, you know, by the support of websites like MMA Madhouse, by the fans, the friends, the family. So get out there and check it out, man. You wouldn't be, you'd be doing a great thing, so.
Just click away. Look it up online.
Yeah.
MMAMadhouse.com. We have events everywhere. I mean, we'll tell you about it. Contact one of us. GFL TV. That's a great place to start. There's easy ways to find it.
All right, man. Now, I've said this over and over all night, but Real Fighting Championships 28 Battle of the Bay is going to be off the hook tomorrow night, the A La Carte Pavilion in Tampa, Florida. I believe the fights are going to start. The doors open, I believe, about 6 o'clock. Make sure you are there. Make sure you are in the house. Get your ass to Tampa. Watch these fights. It is going to be a great night of fights. Chris Big Boy is going to be fighting Jason King. We got Marcos Briones on the card. Sean Hollis, Dervin Lopez, Gian Herrera versus Mitchell Tamale in the main event. There are so many good fights. Jafar Ford Knox is fighting on this card, man. Cam Taylor. Listen, Cam Taylor was an awesome amateur fighter. I think he went pro with about a 7-1 record. This is his pro debut. Dude fights out of Gracie, Tampa. Going to be a great fight. He is a great, great young fighter. Excited to see him finally make his pro debut. It is going to be a great night of fights. RFC 28. You do not want to miss this event. So make sure you find yourself a way to get there, man. If you need a babysitter, get a babysitter, man. DVR anything that you want to watch on TV. Cancel the movie date. Cancel the dinner date. If you want to take your wife out to a good time, bring her to RFC 28 in Tampa, Florida. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are. Make sure you are at RFC 28, the A La Carte Pavilion, Tampa, Florida. It's going to be a great night of fights. I can't say that enough.
And if you can't make it there live, once again, like you said earlier, MMA Madhouse, we bring you all
MMA
the coverage.
MMAMadhouse.com. Yes, sir.
Yeah, the results are there. They're there for all of our events. So if you're in another state and you're interested in it, just log on. You'll see the results.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, if you're in another state, obviously you're not going to be able to be here. I mean, you still could catch a red-eye flight tomorrow morning and get here. But, you know, if that's not in the cards for you, then yeah, MMAMadhouse.com is where you'll be able to find live results. I think, now that I think of it, I do think that they're going to have a stream for the fights. I'm not positive. Check RFCMMA.com or RFCMMA on Facebook, but I do think that they are going to have a stream set up for the fights. I will try and find out more about that, and I will make that known tomorrow if that is going to be, but I do believe I saw that somewhere.
Hey, we'll let you know on Cage Zombies Radio Facebook page, too. If there is
absolutely.
A stream for that, we'll post it.
Absolutely. We want to thank Stephanie Egging, Chris Big Boy, and Alana Jones for joining us tonight. And then we'll be back next Thursday doing the same thing, bringing you great live MMA talk. Got a couple fighters in the mix we're trying to set up for next week. But as always, it's going to be another stacked show. We never disappoint. We want to say thanks for sticking with us. Tonight was a little rough to begin. Like Spencer said, we had some technical difficulties, but we got rolling. Things fell together, and just another great show here at Cage Zombies Radio. Once again, I want to say thanks to our sponsors, Intimidation Clothing, BrawlBase.com, ProAmBelts.com, CrossRoader Clothing, Game Changer Clothing, BrawlBase, I think I said BrawlBase already, ProAmBelts, Cast Iron Supplements, Jax Media Canada, and Gator MMA. Listen, real quick, check out Gator MMA. They've just taken over Richie Rackett here in Port Richey, Florida, US 19. They got all the equipment just came in this week. The bags are set up, and we got the MMA room set up. The JITS classroom, the structure classroom is still getting set up. We're working on that. That will be set up very soon. But come in, check it out. There's so much to do there. There's nothing you can't do there. And if you don't feel like working out one day, but you still want to come in and hang out, we got beer on tap. So come in, hang out, watch some of the guys train, have a beer or two, sit, talk with Daniel, some of the other guys there, and just come in and have a great time, man. Gator MMA, Richie Rackett is where it's at. If you're in Pasco, Pinellas, Hernando area, check it out, GatorMMA.com. I think with that said, I think we're done for this week. We'll be back next week. And just thank you guys for joining us as always. As for Spencer Kirksey and Matthew Gaither, this is Cage Zombies Radio. We'll see you guys next week.
I'll be ready for that too. Watch me walk, watch me walk, watch me walk like a zombie.